Hey, After Buzzers, welcome to the Terror After Show. We have a lot to talk about. This episode was crazy. Lady Jane's search party, Hickey's new victim, cannibalism, Blanky's goodbye, and also Lady Silence and the new shaman. Don't go anywhere.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
The boys are back in town, the boys are back in town.
Hey. They are back, right?
They are back.
They are back. This episode was nuts. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Terror After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm your boy, Danny Royce, and I'm joined by my beautiful panelists here.
What's up, party people? I'm Erica Edwards.
And I'm Cherry Davis.
Hey. All right, folks. We had a lot going on tonight. I mean, it started off with Lady Jane's search party. And overall, what were your thoughts of the show tonight, Erica? What did you think?
I know usually I have a lot of jokes, but actually I was really, like, I cried a couple times, right. And it was kind of embarrassing in the studio and stuff. I'm just going to be honest. I was like, oh, yes, my lashes. But yeah, this episode, like, really hit home and kind of the trials and tribulations that both parties or both leaders face and how a good man deals with it and how sort of an evil psychopath deals with it. So a great episode, very well written and very well acted.
Right. I liked how the missing men are affecting Lady Jane and their niece in England.
Yes, well
as how the English interlopers are affecting the indigenous people and what they normally would be able to do during the wintertime, which is hunt.
Right. That's true. Yeah. I mean, I thought the episode was, like, great. As I mentioned in the previous weeks, it keeps getting better and better. And we just had a lot going on. And first, we opened up with Lady Jane's search party. I believe it was you. Your prediction was she was going to send some people out to find her husband. What do you think is going to be of this search party? You think they're going to actually get far or what?
No.
It's like, nope.
Because there's only one more episode, so odds are against it. But I think it'll be interesting. I'm not sure the history behind it, so I don't know if an actual search party went, since it's based on true life events.
True.
Maybe there probably was a search party, but I assume at some point you don't want your search party to also get lost. So I assume they only go but so far, I would think, and then probably turn back before they ever finally find the ship. Or maybe there's a thaw and the ship sinks. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm following the Terror on Twitter, and historically speaking, Lady Jane was connected,
hey,
as well as being a ride or die chick for her husband, and she knew Charles Dickens, and mm-hmm, they were raising funds to send a small ship to try and save,
cool,
everyone.
Charles Dickens.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Tale
that's
of two
awesome.
Cities.
that's awesome. Yeah, I think, I think something's going to happen. I mean, like you said, she's connected. And did you see the way she was talking in front of, like, the men? And especially in that era, like, it was just, I don't know, it was inspiring. It's inspiring.
She was a strong woman.
She is a strong woman,
it was
for sure.
Interesting because I think she kind of, you know, she knew her people. So
right,
she knew how to, because they honestly are just as vain as her husband was. So the whole thing is to get them to contribute so that their names can sort of go down in infamy.
Infamy,
so
exactly.
It was interesting the way she kind of handled it or kind of played them or whatever. So.
Right. I like how she kept that twist.
Yes.
And she was like, do you want your names to be on it? So, but then we saw Hickey strikes again, and this time killing his ex-lover, right? Wasn't that Billy?
His boy. It was Billy,
right?
Yeah.
And so he killed Billy, and cannibalism. Again.
Again.
So it happened again. What were your thoughts? Did you know that was going to happen, or did you think they were just going to let him die? I mean, they ate his meat. Isn't the sickness all in his body? Like,
you
can you really
so
kick? Like, they didn't even cook it, right?
Maybe they smoked it. Looked like the gentleman's meat was a little bit better.
It looked
than
dry. Yeah, it looked a little bit.
But he was eating on China, so I don't know. Maybe he isn't like everybody else. But the doctor said that he wasn't going to be able to hold his own and bring the boat along, I knew his time was
right,
coming to an end.
Yeah, and as soon as, you know, he was like, we're getting the best out of a bad situation, you know. And then I think Hickey, I don't know, somewhere earlier in the episode, he had alluded to eating people, so.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
He was definitely going to eat somebody, so.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I saw cannibalism coming. It was, it was already there, but yeah, it kind of reminded me of the, I don't know if you've seen the movie about the Uruguayan rugby team in 1972. Their plane crashed, 45 of them, and only 16 survived, and they ate each other. So, I mean, got to do what you got to do, right? No, you wouldn't do it?
No. But Hickey, I still say Hickey was up to no good when he was in England. Who knows, maybe he was eating people, making meat pies, that's why he had to escape. I don't know, but he sure enjoyed eating those people when he tried to frame the Inuits.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
That was like straight up raw.
Right, that, yeah.
And he could have just done the bite marks, but he was chewing and swallowing. So he was really committed.
Well, he might have just been hungry. I'm just saying. I mean, probably hungry, but.
Everyone's pretty much starving at this point. So. And speaking of cannibalism, so who was the one that was chosen to take apart the body? Mr. Good Sir. And I'm sorry, Mr. Good Sir. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Mr. Good Sir.
Yeah, that was crazy. He almost didn't do it until he threatened to kill Mr. Hodgins, right?
His friend.
Right. But now I'm kind of like, yeah, next time I don't think.
You don't think he's going to go through with it?
No, I think, yeah, no, I don't, because I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on how you view Mr. Hodgins' speech about the Catholic Church or whatever, right. But I was laying there asleep or whatever. I'd be like, yeah, next time I'm going to let them get you because you're there eating the person, talking about how hungry you are. So, you know, now I'm like, why did I sacrifice myself? So, you know, I don't know.
Eating on China.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. I don't know. All I know is that he says, what is it? Hickey says they brought Good Sir for a reason.
Yes.
Right? What is that reason, do you think? Because obviously it's, I love how Good Sir called him out. He was like, you know, speaking of your accent, you know, you know how to dissect this and that. So he definitely called him out. So why is Hickey even bringing Good Sir?
He kidnapped him for his medical know-how.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And everything else.
I mean, I don't think he just, you know.
I don't think it's just for the medical.
Just to chop up the bodies, but for his medical service, without a doubt. Because those men, he needs them to be sick. I mean, honestly, it was Mr. Goodsir's diagnosis that he's not going to be able to, you know, to carry, you know, haul tomorrow. That was the death sentence.
Right.
So he really needs him there to diagnose and take care of the men. That's why I think absolutely.
So basically, yeah, he wants him to give you the death sentence so we can eat him.
Well, not just that, but just for his medical knowledge.
Right.
If he happens to have, I don't know if they
sold
the cocaine or if it's all gone or whatever, but whatever
like
sort of drugs or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I think mostly for treatment, because I think the rest of them, I don't think that any of the people that, that are in his team really are upper echelon. They don't really know anything.
No,
you know, they probably, you know what I'm saying? They probably don't know anything. And that's why he has him there for sure.
Right.
He also kidnapped him, because he wants someone to interpret with the Inuit.
The Inuits,
because they do have, well, they had food the last group before they murdered them. But Miss Mark Bowyer was saying, Good Sir is too good for Hickey's group.
Yes.
You are right, sir.
You are very right. I agree.
And I honestly, we'll save some stuff for predictions. But yeah, I agree with that as well.
Good Sir is way too good. Yeah.
Okay, well, on that note, since we're talking about something good, how good Mr. Good Sir is. Well, if you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, for those who do, have we got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life, and from health and wellness to career and especially relationships and finances and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free, and be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know that it was us. Yay,
the terror panel
that sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition. Check it out.
I do, love the guests she has. They're all sorts of people from all walks of life, and it's always great to hear how someone else is living their best life.
Right.
Aww.
That is great to hear. And yes. motivating and inspiring.
Yes.
Yes. Even when you're trapped on ice, you got to live your best.
Right. So now back to terror. The scary terror that we have. This episode just kept bringing, and they just kept dropping like flies. This sickness is just killing people.
Yes.
And like we all predicted, you know, right. that would happen. So Good Sir is like the greatest asset, and mm-hmm. Crozier as well, as yes. we see later on in the episode when they decide to do. So the traitor. Do you remember the traitor's name? The boy.
Bobby.
Bobby.
Was it Bobby? Okay, mm-hmm. so
he
Bobby.
Said Bobby, but I don't remember seeing him.
Before. Right. Like, he just came out of nowhere. Where were you, Bobby?
I thought earlier in the episode, you know, there were people coming back and forth.
Yeah, we saw right. him in this
I thought he came earlier, but
I saw him in this episode. Well, yeah, I just don't remember sure. seeing him in any of the
I don't remember
other
seeing
ones,
him
but
previous,
maybe he was in the background or
exactly.
something.
Yeah.
A lot of people,
by.
Just so many people. On
right.
the show.
So basically, he led them to Crozier, pretty much.
Yeah, right.
So when he went out there and he saw in his telescope and what he said was the river, right, the passage.
Yes.
So brings us to Northwest Passage and Blanky. And so when he when Bobby came, what did you guys think was going to happen? Did that surprise you that he did that?
I knew there was a traitor. I just didn't know who it was, nor did I know how they were communicating. But I think they were communicating with the looking glass or something.
Yes.
I did not realize they were going to kidnap Captain Crozier, but I got to thinking, they probably have no idea that they have Dr. Good Sir as well. They probably think Dr. Good Sir was taken
right,
away
they don't
and
know.
Eaten
yeah.
by Toonbuck.
No, they don't. Because remember they said, when he was in the earlier in the episode, when he was first talking to Miss James, he said Good Sir didn't go with him of his free will. So
yeah.
they knew he was kidnapped. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they know that Good Sir is with them.
Yeah,
oh, he does?
Yeah.
Because in the beginning of the show.
When he was very first talking to Fitz James and he was right. like in and out, or when they, you know, when they were looking over the dead bodies, he was like, I know Good Sir wouldn't have gone with that man willingly. So
exactly.
he did say that, like, I don't know, in the very beginning of the episode, like very few minutes.
Right, right. And so for Good Sir, I mean, everything is like pretty much lost. It's so sad. Like, you just see him moping around. He's just lost, like, all hope. He doesn't have Lady Silence with him. You know, he just kind of checked out mentally, it seems like, how he looks. And so for Fitzgerald, speaking of checking out, Fitz James checked out.
That's too bad.
Yeah, that was sad. That was actually probably the most touching moment of the episode.
Yeah, it was.
What did you ladies think about his decision and everything that happened?
Well, I think one of the themes of this episode, and I assume probably the last episode as well, is that, one, you know, how do you act when you're, you know, under the most dire pressure? Right. And, you know, to some extent, are there some things that are worse than death? Because when he's like, when Hickey is asking him, well, do you want to live? I'm going to save him from my predictions. but yeah, I do think there comes a point where, if not due to illness, due to starvation, due to, you know, like losing your mind or whatever,
right.
you come to a place about, you know, thinking about how you want to die. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And so would you rather be poisoned by your friend or stab in the back? You know what
right.
I'm saying? So you see the turns
no
because Billy probably would have wanted to die as well. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
he doesn't want to go through that pain either.
Right.
But instead, the way it was, you know, he was deceived and murdered by his friend.
Well, Billy was willing to try and at least pull it along tomorrow and try and live. But like Captain Crozier said, he wasn't going to abandon anyone.
Right.
So that was also a conscious decision for Fitz James to not weaken the group and
right.
slow them down any
right.
more so than they already are. And they are at the end point of their life. I mean, it's terrifying to realize
mm-hmm.
they just happen to be going in the wrong direction.
Right.
And if they'd gone in the right direction, some of them may have lived.
True.
And it's, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of Catholic-y, so you're not really supposed to commit suicide. But if the idea of being eaten and my soul devoured by an evil warlock bear or starving to death and eating people, I'm not going to eat anybody. I don't get eaten by bear. And
right.
I don't like being cold. I don't like being in pain. So.
Well, yeah. I agree with what you're saying, too. At one point, you're willing to sacrifice yourself for others. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, you know you're going to die a slow, painful death. Are you
mm-hmm.
going to make all these men, you know, risk their lives dragging you miles and miles. So at some point you do have to, you know, make a decision.
To check out. Yeah. And yeah, I think the decision was great. It was selfless.
Yes,
it really was.
Definitely selfless.
Speaking of keeping the whole team in mind, Blanky, Mr. Blanky. So he decided to leave and walk the other way. And so at the end of the episode, I'm sorry, I got to talk about the forks and stuff.
I do not know how stupid they think this animal is. But we'll see. Because he really feels like the animal is going to eat all those forks.
Bite him. When he's biting him, it'll like bite into his mouth.
I get the idea.
I get the principle, but it's a toss-up. What do you guys think?
Please let us know.
I think it's creative, but I'm 50-50. He was biting people and throwing them back to scare them and stuff. It's not the dumbest bear in the world. I'm not even being funny. I'm just saying.
I'm just being real.
So I'm in between on it. But it's a good shot because if you know you're going to go. I thought he thinks he's going to digest. But I'm thinking if you have enough energy, you can poke him in the eye or something. Right. Like, really, to be honest. But you can get a few little licks in with your fork, you know, before you go.
He had a knife.
So you can get in a little bit of something before you go. But I mean, the idea that the thing is going to die of like indigestion or whatever from these forks and stuff. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see next week, people. I'm 50-50 on it.
Like, remember when he said, wrap me up with, like, the rope around him? I almost think that he thinks the bear is going to swallow him whole. And then the forks will, like...
Right, exactly. That's what I think. But I feel like this is not the dumbest bear in the world. I feel like the bear can easily spit out a fork.
They don't have any engineers on the ship, so they wouldn't know.
I'm not saying they know.
I think it's a good shot, but I'm not saying that it's... I mean, I get the principle. I get the forks.
We're not giving Tumbug enough credit.
Right. It's a defense mechanism, but this creature can steal souls. And can, like you said, throw people. So I don't know what those forks are going to do.
I feel like he can spit a fork out,
but he still bite him and he'd like hurt his mouth. I mean, we've all bitten a hot pizza and burned our mouth.
True.
Even though we know the pizza's hot, we still
stuck the roof of our mouth with a fork.
I agree.
You know?
And Tumac is hungry, so.
Topher S. was saying that in the novel, do you all want clues about what happened in the books?
Kind of, but no. But since you already typed it,
Topher S. says, Tumbuk purposefully passes on devouring Hickey because his soul is so foul.
That definitely makes sense.
Because he did bypass Hickey during the big firing hanging scene.
Right, he's never
been
there.
He looked at him and he was like, nah, I ain't about that life. Right. And he just went around him.
Because, I mean, it has the souls that it intakes has to affect it somehow. So, I mean, that evil, I'm sure, will sway the balance. They already said, which we'll get into in a minute, the balance is off. What are you laughing at? Not a laughing matter. We're talking death here.
Internal leading to your point. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Somebody in the chat was like, internal bleeding via forks?
Don't give a fork.
Right. I am right there with you. Like,
you guys are awesome in the chat today. I love
it.
Mark, we're right here. Because I'm like.
That's where we all were. We were all thinking the same thing.
But you know what? I think Blanky was having so much fun with it.
He's like,
you know what? I saw the Northwest Passage. I'm going to have him snack on these forks. And he had such a positive spirit.
Right.
So, you know, hopefully, or maybe Tumbuk will choke on the fork. But yeah, the fork thing is interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that'll handle next week.
It's very genius, though. But you know what? Blanky.
He had his last cigarette pipe.
Yeah.
But he was making fun of his whole situation from the beginning, Recozier and everything, which I don't know about you all, but Blanky is one of my favorite characters in this whole episode. Even though he's like kind of like in the corner all the time, you know, just kind of keep an eye on making stuff.
He always drops knowledge. His friendship with Crozier.
That like really hurt Crozier.
I loved that line when he was like, I can't lose two friends in the same same day. I'm like, okay.
So next we have, we're going to talk about Lady Silence. All right. So Lady Silence is back and, she proceeds to take charge of the, of Tumbuk. But a new shaman is coming and apparently the shaman was there and she's supposed to assist, with just gaining Tumbuk's trust again and putting the balances back in order. they said that something about, like, the European settlers threw off the balance with everything mm-hmm. they were doing and all that. You know, they're killing everything, pretty much. What Erica, what's your take on the whole situation of putting everything back in balance, and what do you think needs to happen to do that?
Okay, well, two things. First, I thought it was interesting. Like, I love the indigenous people. However, I don't quite agree, because wherever the animals are going, we all know the men aren't killing them.
Right.
Because they don't know how to kill anything. So they're eating those nasty tins still and eating each other. So so there is probably something going on, but I think to some extent they're blaming the men, and, you know, the men are, you know, whatever, falsely have their beliefs. So I wasn't that part. I wasn't quite like, okay, I don't know if the men really did anything, because they're starving out here too. So yeah. Maybe actually their presence, of course, threw off some balance. But I'm like, okay, I don't think all the animals fleed because their ship got stuck or whatever. And then also, I mean, I think there were some parts of that scene that I didn't quite get. Like, I was like, okay, so is she being fired? Like, why is the new shaman coming? Like, you know, not being funny or whatever, but is she being terminated? So that part was kind of, that whole scene was interesting to me to see how, you know, how it sort of plays out. Because I felt like they made some assumptions that I wasn't really sure were fundamentally accurate. So maybe they have some prejudices as well against the interlopers or whatever we call them.
Well, I don't think women are traditionally shaman, which is why when she took on that mantle, mm-hmm. she was like, I don't know if it's going to work, and I don't know if we'll be able to control the Trubak. And also, I think what they meant was the Englishmen were constantly firing off their guns.
Oh, okay.
They were just a lot more louder than the native.
Just their presence in general. Right.
Disturb their pattern. And they probably were in the path of their normal migratory pattern. Mm-hmm. And so they just went in a different direction, which took them away from where they normally would go to. And they probably weren't prepared, and so they didn't have enough food to sort of uproot themselves and leave.
Follow.
Because I understand with indigenous people, they have, like, their winter area where they go, mm-hmm. where the animals are, then they have their summer area, and the animals probably went a little bit further away than they normally
would. Everything just thrown
off. And also,
off.
I think it was, like, more frozen than it normally was.
Right, exactly. So I think it could have also been a combination of, you know, the men, but also the weather conditions that kind of threw everything off for everyone.
And maybe the balance is affecting the weather as well. Who knows?
Yes.
On another spiritual level. So we have a special segment that we're going to do. Our most terrifying moments today. So, Jerry, our Arctic specialist.
My most terrifying moment was watching Mr. Blanky, because every time he'd come on and he'd be out in the middle of the winter place by himself, every time I'd look behind and be like, oh. I mean, towards the end, literally my eyes, I wasn't even watching the episode. I was just like, oh, don't let the polar bear get him.
Right.
And I was just hiding my eyes. And then at the very end, you didn't even see the monster eating him, but you could hear the crunch, crunch. And he's like, well, took you long enough.
Yeah.
I like Mr. Blanky. He's a shame. I was hoping he'd live, and I'm hoping, I'm still have my fingers crossed for my doctor.
Hey, those forts might save him. Who knows?
Yes. Okay. What the question's most terrifying moment?
Your most terrifying moment.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe I'm too much of a downer. I wasn't really terrified in this episode. But I think what I did think, or I think the part that was surprising to me, I thought that when Hinckley's or Hinckley's men captured Captain Crozier, I thought they were going to kill the other men. I didn't mm-hmm. think when once they got their guns, I thought they were going to shoot the other men and keep the captain.
Right.
So I think there was a moment there where I was uncomfortable, but they didn't. So
right. I have to agree with you. There wasn't actually a terrifying moment in this episode, but there were a lot of sad parts.
Right, yeah,
you know,
like there were sometimes a lot of emotional parts. I wasn't terrified.
But so I wasn't terrified.
It was just sad. And then it was just interesting to see, you know, like the good and the evil.
Exactly.
Whatever. So the dynamics of both of those were very, very good. But not terrifying, but very sad.
Right. The most chilling moment, I would say, is just eating people. You know, that's always, eating your friend is not really the greatest thing to go through. can only imagine what that does to everyone's minds. It's already pretty messed up. So
none of them looked all that unhappy, in all honesty, while they're eating. They looked more like, oh, thank God I'm eating.
But they, well, I think they looked like they were kind of uncomfortable. Exactly. Just a little uncomfortable. I mean, Hickey was the only one that was just like a buffet. Like, he wasn't bothered at all.
Yeah, everybody looked uncomfortable. They looked like sad but tasty. You know what I mean? Right. Like, they looked like they liked it, but they enjoyed. They were like, oh,
it was necessary.
It tastes better than I thought it would. But
like veal.
But they still were upset. I felt definitely they still seemed upset. I think what's interesting is that the captain's men are bonding in their moment of crisis. Mm-hmm. Theoretically, because they're the good, better people. To some extent, whereas the other men, it's kind of like there's really no honor among thieves, and there never is on any type of crime show or any type of show. So, and here you still see that again because, the same way they were mutants, the same way they participated in mutiny before, they'll do it again.
Exactly.
If Hinky starts acting
they'll
up.
They'll do it,
so,
yeah. I mean, at this point, survival is
everything.
They
said they do. Yeah. They wanted to sneak off in the middle of the night. And really, when they were eating poor Billy, I'm sure all of them were thinking, what if I fall and hurt
this
myself?
This could be me.
This could be me.
I was looking at the plump one. I was like, dude, you look like veal. You need to, really watch out. Because the plump one, there's only really one plump one. And Hickey's looking at him like...
And then, and that has to be what Dr. Goodsir is thinking in his bed. Is
exactly.
That at some moment, anyone who goes to sleep, you can't close your eyes among these men because you could be, snack.
So that's a lot to worry about, as well as the creature being outside, being eaten by them too. Like, it's just so much going on in these gentlemen's heads.
I really thought Good Sir had committed suicide or something.
I thought so too at the point. Yeah,
me
when
too.
He came in there and it was dark.
Me too.
Right.
And he wasn't saying anything.
That'll sneak it in. If he does it, he might. I'll say that right now. That was going to be my prediction, but I'll predict something else. But,
well, we're going to get there.
I definitely feel like he's coming to the point where he's like, which I think some of the men would anyway. Like, do you want to live like a savage where you're eating your friends and stuff to survive? Or would you end the end of the day and probably end up dying anyway?
Right.
Like, why would you want to die like that?
I agree.
I think it's going to be a choice that several of the men will have to make.
Do we have any fan shout-outs? Or we had some awesome
comments
in there.
Well, we have a couple of people in our chat. Mark Boy Bowyer, of course. Topher S. And... Fresh Dopamine is in there.
Okay, in the house.
He's or she is asking, will there be a second season to this show? Speaking to the showrunner a couple weeks ago, he said that yes, there would be.
Oh, really?
Yes, there will
yes,
be.
Yes, it just won't be this story. It'll be something else.
Right. Oh, okay.
And they haven't announced what that is
yet.
Oh,
so kind of like American horror story.
Yes.
Right, yeah. So stay tuned. Can't say too much.
We don't want to say anything, but hopefully he'll be in
and hopefully
again
he'll be
next
back
Monday.
Next week, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Be vast.
Oh, yeah. Dave would be back. That would be awesome. So,
that'd be really awesome. Find out what he's up to. He has some exciting things going on.
Right. And thank you all for commenting in our chat. Let us know. Drop us some of your predictions. And we're coming to predictions.
And we have gossip.
Oh, you have gossip today. Okay.
Gossip.
Okay, let's do it.
AfterBuzz TV News.
What do you got?
So, as I said before, Charles Dickens was a good friend. Oh, so to keep track of all the people that they had on the show, they literally had to have little note cards with everybody's name, description, who they were. Because
we
have a hard time just tracking
it.
I was like, oh my gosh.
They need to post that on the website.
Right.
And then they did have an event, which is in the Historical Society in London, showing that they had an event. They had a little sign with Charles Dickens hosting it. And once they sent the ship and the ship came back and they couldn't find them, there were rumors all over the place that the group had resorted to cannibalism. Mm. But Mr. Dickens used his social acumen to sort of damper down the gossip. And this is the photo of the real men leading the two ships. And then we see the actors. They don't exactly look like them because you know how Hollywood is. You can't look too unattractive. But surprisingly, they look very time period.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Okay. Little double take there. There you go.
Yeah, they definitely resemble.
They did a good job on that.
They did a really,
really good job.
Wow. With the casting. Great job, casting directors.
That's crazy. Awesome.
English. Island
it.
People.
The Europeans, awesome. Awesome. Well, that's great. Thank you, Cherry.
Thank
you're awesome
you.
for the news and gossip.
You're
that was
so
pretty
much
awesome.
Gossip.
Yeah, I know. Charles Dickens. Now we got.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
My prediction. All right. Cherry, you want to go first with predictions? Or?
I think Toonbach is going to go crazy on both set of survivors. I think Mr. Hickey plans on eating a few more people with some Chianti and fava beans. And that, I don't know what they're going to do with Captain Crozier, but I don't believe it's anything nice. I almost wonder if they're going to beat him with a cat of nine tails or maybe use him as bait to get the Toonbach to go in a different direction so that they're able to escape.
Okay. Nice. Erica?
Okay, so I think perhaps Dr. Goodsir probably will try to kill himself or kill himself. I think that, Toonbach is hungry, so he's going to, I agree with you on that, he's going to eat several people next episode. I think what might end up happening is, I don't feel like the other party is going to head south and leave their, I think that they're going to end up actually killing each other. Like, I think they're going to go to war with each other, and that's how they all end up dead at the very end,
right.
Destroying each other.
Okay, all right. My prediction, Toonbach is going to wreak havoc. He's going to be back. The new shaman, I'm excited to see what's going to happen with that, if they can gain control of Toonbach or not. Goodsir, I think, is going to try to kill Hickey. I think it was kind of like a foreshadow when Hotchin was talking to him about that. And I think the men are going to try to come and get Francis Crozier. They're not going to leave and go and keep going south for sure. And Hickey, I think they're going to definitely try to get Crozier to speak and use him for his knowledge and try to get ahead of the others. But I think everyone's just going to fight. I really do. Inuits are going to be in there. Toonbach's going to be in there. Everybody's just going to be like, where you at? Like, honestly. But I think that's what's going to happen. So we'll see.
We'll see.
Any more messages on there?
Yes. Topher S. said that Dickens despised the, I'm going to call them Inuits, and blamed them for killing the crew because, you know, they didn't know what happened for hundreds of years. And then Mark asked why the open sea and not the sea with an S-E-A. I think it's because a lot of those people were illiterate.
Yeah.
And so they sounded things out by sound.
By the way it sounds, right.
Yeah, and we're going to keep this PG-13 because I thought it could also be another sea, but I'm just saying what I thought. Okay.
All right, well, there you have it, folks. Thank you so much for joining us here on AfterBuzz TV. Stay tuned for next week. We have the season finale of The Terror. It's going to be awesome.
It'll be awesome, you guys.
It is going to be awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
My name is Danny Royce. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at I Am Danny Royce.
What's up, party people? Can't wait to see you again next week. My name is Erica Edwards. You can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards.
Hey, this is Cherry. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as Cherry_LA and on the AfterBuzz show for the 100 with my girl on Wednesdays for Deception.
Yes. Deception.
And on Sundays for The Expanse.
All right, folks. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your week. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Bye.
Bye, folks.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.